Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 22nd, 2008. It's agriculture's home day for the year, Earth Day. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And K-State's Mike Wolverton will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, CFTC today has been getting an earful on ag markets. And Max Baucus, along with Charles Grassley, are rallying the public to save farm bill tax reforms. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And in just 25 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat futures at $8.51¾, up 6 cents for the day. July futures at $8.66, up 6½. December contract $8.98, up 7½ cents. May corn futures at $5.94¼, 14 cents higher. July futures at $6.07¾, up 14 for the day. And September corn at $6.16¼ finished 13 cents higher. December contract, new crop harvest month, $6.19, up 13 and three quarters. May soybean futures, $13.74¾, 59 and a quarter higher. July at $13.89½, up 59 cents. And the August contract at $13.79, up 58 and a half. November soybeans, $12.77, a settlement price up 41 and a half cents. May bean meal futures at $3.55, up $18.20. July futures at $3.5970, up $18.40 a ton. May bean oil at $60.97, $1.98 higher. July futures at $61.70, 100 weight. They're up $1.98 as well. April live cattle futures, $90.82½ from the CME Group. Up 80 cents. June futures at $92.10, up 15 cents for the day. April feeder cattle futures $101.70, up 15. The May futures at $106.75, a nickel higher. And the May lean hog $72.97, up 30 cents for the afternoon. June futures at $73.67½, settled today on a Tuesday afternoon, up 70 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Land Grant in Illinois, the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets are doing now. Crude oil futures trading at $119.20, up $1.72. June futures at $118.25, $1.62 higher for the day. Ethanol trading at $2.56.6, that's up 0.026 for the day. The dollar at 71.35 is down 0.28, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,666. Just about 159 points lower. Gold futures trading the April contract at $922.30 an ounce, up $7.66. And the S&P, Goldman Sachs Commodities at 74.70, 8.36 higher. The S&P 500 index at 13.70 is down 17. And the NASDAQ to 23.72 is off just about 35 points at this hour. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight across Illinois and Indiana, in the south it'll be clear to partly cloudy. In northern and central sections, partly to mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers, a few isolated thunderstorms. Those will be most numerous in the north. Lows will range from 50 in northern and eastern Indiana to near 60 in the western parts of Illinois. Wednesday in the northern part of Indiana, cloudy, some showers early, then becoming partly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 68 in northwestern Illinois tomorrow to 78 in the far south. The extended forecast highlights frequent storm systems over the next 2 weeks should cause some interruptions in pre-planting field prep and planting operations across many areas. Temps will be cooler next week, and that will slow drying rates between rain events and cause some planting rates to fall further behind schedule. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL AM 580.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now for a look at the futures markets during this Tuesday afternoon closing market report is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Boy, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what a turnaround Tuesday after quite a down day yesterday on ideas that the planters would roll. Things moved lower, or rather higher today.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things that sort of happened. There's more talk that the Argentine farmers may soon go back on strike. We had the CFTC hearings today, which seem to be a bust as far as what I'm listening to. It seems like they aren't listening. They're talking and telling instead. We would like to see more delivery points. But out of that come the non-fear that the index funds might have the rules changed, and they come back with a vengeance, and they'd bought over 12,000 contracts of corn, 5,000 beans, and 3,000 wheat today, and that thing's turned things around along with the crude oil.
What are you seeing in the way of movement in Indiana and the Crawfordsville area? Many planters rolling yet?
You know, everybody's going out looking for their dry field. We're seeing guys, instead of hitting it hard, are going out and planting, 40, 60, 80 acres maybe at the most, and seeing how it's going and hoping it stays clear. You know, as we looked at the weather map at noon today, why, it was pretty green in the western part of Illinois, and now it's pretty void of any showers over there. And I just got a report from Northern Illinois that there are a few planters running up there, and they proceeded on. The rain didn't get to them. So, you know, there is some activity starting here. We're not moving along at breakneck speed, but we're making some progress.
You know, producers have a lull and they have some time to think about marketing, maybe to stew over it just a bit as they wait to get into the fields. Are there suggestions you have for them for either new crop corn or soybeans or the old crop of either of those crops?
Well, I think that, we've probably got the chance of going up a little bit more in this corn because of the continued fear of some planting delays, and that actually they're going to have it. I mean, if we look at our forecast at noon today, we've got a 35% coverage area of, up to 0.3 inches today through Wednesday in the eastern Corn Belt, and a 90% coverage of 2 to 8 tenths and up to an inch on the Thursday time frame, and then again Sunday, Monday, 90% coverage of some sort of rain. So we're going to have trouble making good planting progress through next planting report unless this weather forecast changes. So I think, another 20 to 40 cents up, and we want to be looking at some puts in that range.
Yeah, crop progress report yesterday afternoon, and I'll have to think about this a little bit. 4%, I think, nationwide.
4% nationwide, yeah, but some real low numbers for Iowa and Missouri and Illinois.
Yeah, zero, I think, in Iowa planted again this week. How soon do you think, is there a premium built into the marketplace for this yet?
And oh, yeah.
How much?
That's a big question, but I would have to say at least a 25 to 30 cents, Todd. I mean, just in the respect that, that's what we popped today when the weather looked a little bit wetter. Again, that's what we took out yesterday when it looked like we were going to roll. So there's at least that sort of basis put into delayed planting or what could turn into prevented planting, but we're not saying prevented yet by any means because the large equipment we have, if we can ever get 5 days of decent weather put together, we can put a large share of this crop in the ground.
Anything on the world market or the world scene that you see that concerns you?
I think very much the Argentine strike number one, the striking about food prices in all these different countries is very scary. And, of course, the fuel costs coming up. And also a lot of the smaller countries putting a ban on exports for a while and puts us number one in the export market, especially if this continues down in Argentina, because we do have tight stocks of old crop beans, and we expected those to slow down immensely, and the beans be coming out of Argentina and South America this time of year.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it, Todd.
All right, thank you very much.
All righty, thank you.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason, your host for the program, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can hear this program, Commodity Week, and other programming that's produced by WILL AM 580. That's the public radio station on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'd like to welcome our listeners from WTIM in Taylorville. We appreciate having you on the schedule. This program comes to you tape delayed there from 5:30 to 6 p.m. each and every business day. Also, welcome to those listening out of Clinton, Illinois on WHOW. Dave Dickey will be here momentarily to take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission today is hosting a roundtable discussion to look into whether agricultural markets are functioning as designed with regard to risk management and price discovery. Some industry analysts say a sharp increase in the number of money managers who move large amounts of funds into and out of futures contracts for reasons far removed from agricultural supply and demand concerns has crippled the futures market as a price discovery tool. Earlier this month in Chicago, Futures Exchanges had its own fact-finding meeting. University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good says that meeting produced no consensus on solutions. Good predicts today's meeting will be equally diverse. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus and Ranking Member Charles Grassley have launched a public campaign in an effort to save at least some of the tax reforms proposed in the Senate version of the Farm Bill. The full $2.4 billion package is opposed by House Ways and Means Chairman Charles Rangel. Baucus says biodiesel and conservation would get the biggest chunk of tax relief. Monday, Farm Bill conferees remained divided on the issue, as well as how to pay for a $10 billion spending increase. Farm Bill conferees are meeting again today. The latest Farm Bill extension expires on Friday. Cattle industry officials say it could take several years before the U.S. fully recovers its beef export market share in South Korea, which announced it is reopening its market fully to U.S. beef without restriction. Since 2003, the U.S. has either been banned by South Korea from shipping beef or has had restrictions placed on U.S. beef, making shipment virtually impossible. Australian beef producers have largely filled the American void since 2003, and U.S. cattle industry officials say they expect competition to be stiff. Meanwhile, with resolution of the beef issue, President George Bush urged passage of the U.S.-South Korea Free Trade Agreement.
Our United States Congress must reject protectionism, must not turn its back on a friend and ally like Korea, and must approve the free trade agreement with Korea this year.
Bush says South Korean officials have been closely watching congressional stonewalling on consideration of a U.S.-Colombia free trade deal and are asking questions about whether free trade is really a U.S. priority. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. Well, the National Agricultural Statistics Service released its second crop progress report yesterday afternoon. It shows corn planted nationwide now at 4%. That's lagging behind last year, which was at 9%, and the five-year rolling average at 17%. Iowa, 0% planted still, 6% last year, 12%. On the rolling five-year average, we'll get numbers from Illinois and Nebraska right now.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 20th. Warmer temperatures were reported across the state of Illinois this past week, but rain still prevented farmers from starting planting activities in earnest. Although the weekly precipitation was below normal, what did fall left many fields still too wet for field work to get underway. Topsoil moisture ratings showed a little improvement and were rated 1% very short, 1% short, 42% adequate, and 56% still surplus. The wettest conditions continued to be centered within the two southernmost crop reporting districts again last week. Corn planting is now officially underway at 1% complete, compared to 9% last year and significantly trailing the five-year average of 29%. Oat seeding is now 37% complete, compared to 52% last year and the five-year average of 80%. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop showed slight improvement again last week and came in at 1% very poor, 6% poor, 23% fair, 62% good, and 8% excellent. Pastures, alfalfa, and red clover fields were rated in fair to mostly good condition and were showing excellent growth, the result of some long-awaited sunshine and warmer temperatures. And in closing, work safe and be careful out there as you rush to get your crops planted. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending April 20, 2008. Another wet week for much of the east and south kept anxious producers out of the field. Corn planted was underway mainly in the west, but limited to 2% statewide. This is behind both last year at 6 and the five-year average of 8. Winter wheat conditions are rated 55% good or excellent. Wheat jointed was at 5%, 10 days behind the average. Oats planted passed the halfway mark but was behind both last year and average. Oats emerged was at 14%. Alfalfa conditions were 69% good to excellent, and pasture and range conditions came in at 61% good to excellent. Spring calving was near 88% complete. Calf losses are mostly average. This has been Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Our thanks to the statisticians in Illinois and Nebraska for their cooperation this week. As the growing season passes, we'll add more statisticians until we get to the top five corn-producing states across the nation. In order, they are Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Covering the Corn Belt here from the great state of Illinois, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Land Grant, the U of I, University of Illinois, and from another land-grant institution, Kansas State University of Extension Grains and Biofuels Ag Economist Mike Wolverton joins us this afternoon to talk about those markets. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Good to be with you as well. Kansas not in the top five of corn producers, but they're an awfully big wheat-producing state. Why don't you start off with a quick overview of what the wheat crop looks like as it's coming out of dormancy there?
I just had a chance to drive across Kansas, and from Dodge City east, the wheat crop looks really good, terrific. In that southwestern corner of Kansas, though, and then on down to the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas, it looks pretty rough. They just haven't had enough moisture to make a wheat grow well. And it's been cool, so the wheat is awfully small. It's behind schedule.
And Kansas, of course, one of the primary hard red winter growing states, wheat growing states of the nation, Illinois, and to the east, a primarily soft red. One of them's traded in Kansas City, the other in Chicago. But we ought to talk a little bit about corn and ethanol profit margins at this point. Have you been following them? I know you have one that you calculate on of your own business for ethanol. It's just the numbers, but how are you doing?
Well, Todd, ethanol profit margins have improved a little bit, even though we're looking at sky-high corn prices. My latest calculation shows 17 cents per gallon profit on ethanol, which is better than it has been in the last few weeks, and probably because ethanol prices have been pulled up by the high price of oil. it's kind of interesting, though, at this point, ethanol producers are making more money selling distillers' grains than they are producing ethanol.
You know, it's Earth Day, April the 22nd, and there's much ado across the globe, I suppose, about biofuels and ethanol in particular pushing the price of food higher. Do you agree?
Well, on this, it's true. On this Earth Day, we're seeing a lot of publicity given, negative publicity given to ethanol because of food price inflation. In fact, there's been a world food crisis proclaimed, and a lot of people are saying we need to revisit the mandates and subsidies given to ethanol because, and there's just a lot of misinformation there. They're blaming the high food prices on ethanol, global deforestation, not reducing our dependence on imported oil, pollution of air and water, and some of this criticism is justified, but most of it is not. And it's sort of ironic on Earth Day when they're attacking ethanol that oil price touched $120 a barrel.
And where would you put most of the blame?
I calculated the cost of producing wheat, and some people are saying wheat high prices are due to ethanol, and that's not true at all. And it looks like the inflation, the increase in price of fuel is driven up the price of bread more than the price of wheat. And, but ethanol gets the blame. And it's interesting, we don't see anyone criticizing the oil exporting countries for not producing more oil to bring these oil prices back down, which would relieve some of the pressure on all these commodities.
Is it easy enough to say that there's simply a much larger middle class in India and China and that they're consuming much greater quantities of red meat along with a lot more energy in the last 10 years?
I think that's exactly true, Todd. I was looking at rice this morning, and global production has been increasing only at about 1% per year, but global demand has been increasing at a greater rate than that. It's because economic prosperity around the world is just increasing the demand for grains, for meat, and for all other commodities as well. And yes, China, India, and many other countries are just increasing consumption. We're having a kind of difficult time keeping up with the supply side.
Now, the price of wheat has dropped back dramatically, and it's in line, I suppose, now at this time with the price of corn, historically on a ratio basis anyway. Is there enough Northern Hemisphere wheat coming on that should continue to be the case?
Well, I think so. We're looking at perhaps a 7% global increase in production. Canada just released numbers this morning saying that they're likely to produce 16%. Well, they're going to plant 16% more acres of wheat. So we're seeing a great production response around the world due to those high wheat prices. And even though the hard red winter wheat crop looks like it's struggling a little bit, particularly in Texas and the Panhandle, as I mentioned, I think we're going to produce a lot of wheat around the world this year and relieve some of these prices. And so when people criticize the high commodity prices, they just wait a little while till we can produce a new crop. I think we're going to relieve some of this pressure and build up global supplies a little bit.
If we have a normal cropping year for corn and soybeans this year, will that do the same in those marketplaces, or has demand simply pushed the price to a new level for you?
Well, demand's awfully strong, and I think it's going to take at least 2 years of good crops to replenish the global supply. So we're not likely to see prices fall back to previous low levels, although they should come down some this year as we increase the production and global supplies of all these commodities.
Mike, we appreciate you taking the time today.
Good to talk with you, Todd.
Good to talk with you, too. Mike Wolverton is Kansas State University Extension's Grains and Biofuels Ag Economist. He joins us each and every fourth Tuesday of the month to take up the biofuels and energy markets. You can hear Energy Markets each Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Jelly Bean Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1763, Jared Elliott died. Elliott was an American colonial clergyman and agronomist who wrote essays upon field husbandry, a tome about reducing inefficiency and waste in colonial farming methods. He also invented a drill which would open a furrow, plant seed, and drop manure in a single operation. In 1778, James Hargreaves died. He was the English inventor of the spinning jenny, the first practical application of multiple spinning of raw cotton by a machine. In 1832, Julius Sterling Morton was born. He was the founder of Arbor Day, first observed in Nebraska on April 10, 1872. In 1889, the U.S. opened Oklahoma to homesteaders, and the Oklahoma land rush officially began at 12 o'clock noon. In 1913, Thomas Wright of New Jersey patented a method to load ice onto refrigerator railroad cars. In 1945, Robert Elmer Horton died. Horton was an American hydraulic engineer whose studies on rainfall drainage established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion and soil conservation. 1 month before he died, Horton published a 95-page landmark paper that summarized 2 decades of study on rainfall drainage. And in 1970, the first Earth Day was celebrated, and that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hey, beautiful weather. A little warm here, in fact. I think we're going to edge up close to near 80 this afternoon. 77 degrees, I think, is on tap from our own meteorologist. What's your call for the day?
Yeah, it really is looking a little bit more like it, well, it should as we get into late April and heading into May. And the forecast is looking warmer. Not necessarily completely dry. We've got some showers and thunderstorms to contend with. But from where we've been, at least over the last few weeks, we're definitely seeing a trend that is warmer, as we're going to find out, and maybe not as moist. There's still going to be some opportunities to pick up some shower and thunderstorm activity, but the real big, heavy, soaking rains we had earlier in the spring, we don't see that coming on in, just more of your garden variety type of shower and thunderstorm patterns.
There were some shower and thunderstorm calls for the Midwest for the day. Are they still on?
Yeah, they still are. It's a narrow area of shower and thunderstorm activity, not as wide as what we have seen earlier this spring. But it will extend from the northern plains states, especially into the western areas of the Corn Belt and into the southern plains. And the southern plains, which could really use some moisture, portions of Texas, especially West Texas, West Oklahoma, winter wheat country of western Kansas, they have a chance, a good chance, of finally getting some needed rain.
And then if you look a little further out into the next week and a half, a couple of weeks, what do you see? Will planters roll finally across the bulk of the Midwest?
I don't know if roll would be a good way to describe it. Getting rolling and getting started, getting and gathering momentum, yes. We don't see any showstoppers. We're going to see the trend as we are seeing now getting warmer. But there's still going to be some wet areas that are going to take a little bit longer to dry out. But we're going to get the help from the sun and some warmer temperatures.
Maybe we ought to check in on the wheat crop around the globe in the northern hemisphere. What do you see in Kiev, Ukraine, and parts of India at this point?
Well, right now it's good for you, the Ukraine and Kiev, those areas, a little bit drier. Some of the southern and western areas of the Ukraine may get into some shower activity, but they're going to be hitting a little bit of a warmer and drier spell there. So that'll be something to keep an eye on here. Now, as we get in over to India, well, their forecast is pretty dry. There's really not much in the way of any good moisture forecasted for the next week in the growing areas of India.
And we probably ought to check in on the Chinese growing season, just getting kicked off, kind of like here. Where do they stand for corn and soybean planting?
Well, they have had a weather pattern very similar to the United States, really since going back to this past winter. And same as us, really, here in the Midwest. There's going to be some shower chances, but they are starting to warm up, drying out a little bit, but there will be some chances for rain, but not big rain.
Boy, it looks like their northern regions are a little cool still, I think, what, in just the low 50s at this point in the far
yeah,
northern parts.
Yeah, and I tell you, there is still a lot of cool air in the northern hemisphere that hasn't gone through yet and gotten warmed up into the spring season. And there's going to be episodes in the northern hemisphere, even early May, where some cool downs are going to be coming. Although I think in North America, we're going to see that in the western areas, western Canada, the northern Rockies, as evidenced by the 15 inches of snow that fell in Great Falls, Montana over the weekend.
Don, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks much. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Remember to visit our website. You can find it at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.